The history of the park. The name of the book is called Making the First Circle Work, The Foundation for Duplication in Network Marketing. And it was sent to me by, I think Marion Culhane made a note or said something out, just suggesting, saying, this book is free. All you had to do is pay for the shipping to get it. So Lydia, I was in Mexico, and Lydia said, Mary Jo, the book was free, so I just paid for the shipping. So I said, okay, fine. So I've never bought a free book before that paid for shipping, but it sounded okay. And Randy Gage, if you don't know much about Randy Gage, this guy is like king of network marketing. I mean, he became a platinum in the top level of many different organizations. He started his own. He's just New Skin is probably what he's most well known for, but he is a guru extraordinaire in network marketing. In fact, he's got tons of materials published out there, and marketing materials and concept materials. Some of them named like How to Build a Multi-Level Money Machine. You know, he's been part of network marketing, the team and network marketing magazine. He does a lot of the trainings that way. He has called a ultimate step-by-step MLM system for building your business called Duplication Nation, How to Build a Massive Network Marketing Direct Selling Organization. It's a group of CDs and DVDs and videos and a guide and some business building materials. He's got everything going. I mean, he's got the whole action thing going with materials. Very well known in the industry, and some of you have probably read his book, Your First Year in Network Marketing. I think that was Randy Gage. Was that Randy Gage? No, maybe it wasn't Randy Gage. Oh, I don't remember. See him. I got too many books in my brain. But anyway, Randy's very knowledgeable and been entrenched in this industry for years and years. So he wrote this book. It's called Making the First Circle Work. And so I decided to review this, and it's a very quick read book. In fact, it's something you could read, but I probably got through it in less than an hour the first time I read it, and then went back to outline it for you as well as give you some insights. But his book was what it's about. It's about duplication. And a lot of these, I want to highlight before we go through this, people, that a lot of these concepts might be like old to you. In other words, that you've heard them before. But I want you to just open your mind to hear them another time. Don't dismiss this information because it sounds like information that's the same old information. Because I think a lot of times we allow our brain to get lazy and do that, and then we don't really hear what we're ready to learn. You know, I always tell people, I say, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And I think a lot of material that we've read in the past, we only grasp so much of it. I mean, like maybe 10%, because we're not ready to absorb the rest. So I'm just asking you to be ready to absorb what Randy has to say, because if I can read this book and find it insightful and very meaningful in specific areas where I really need to make a shift, I think all of you can do the same thing. So just look at it from a perspective of how I need to shift. We get stuck in our ways, and we don't understand why we're not growing or not moving forward. And a lot of it is because we're choosing not to change. We're choosing not to go through our own self-transformation to help us be the best we can be and produce the best results for the people around us. So with that note, let's jump in and look at the book. So he's talking about duplication and his whole concept. Now, what's the name of the book? It says what? It says about making the first circle work. What is he really talking about? Well, if you know anything about network marketing, when you do a diagram, you draw circles, right? And the top circle is who? It's you. So, and then underneath it, right now we're doing 4x4 plans. Everywhere I go, that's all we're teaching these days. But, you know, we say go out and find four people. Just find four people. And the quality people, we want you to find, you know, barn burners. We want you to find the best people you can find is those four people. So we build the four people. And the concept of the name of this book, Making the First Circle Work, is the first circle is you. You're at the top. That's the first circle in building a network marketing business. You. Y-O-U in that top circle. So the idea is that we need to focus on what we're doing in building our business. Because human nature says, you know, about 90% of the bad things and only 40 to 50% of the good things get duplicated. So we have to be very careful in what we are, how we behave, what we're doing, what we're saying, what our attitude is, what direction we're giving people. All of these things have a huge play on what happens in our organization. Huge. because we actually lead by modeling behavior, right? I mean, our behavior is what transcends our organization. So when we understand that, we understand how critically important it is that we are setting the culture of our team, and that manifests itself. So what is that culture? Who are you? Do some self-examination. What kind of culture am I setting? What kind of culture am I creating in my organization? So the book is about setting the speed of your pack, how fast your team builds, the level of duplication you're going to experience at the lower levels. It's all about what? Leadership. It's all about leadership. It's about who you are. How are you leading your people? The first person you lead is going to be yourself. So you have to take responsibility for yourself, your own business, before you look at others. So it's about committing to make the first circle functional. Make that first circle work, and everything else will fall into place. So let's kick off and look at chapter by chapter. He talks about where duplication lives, We tend to look at our organization sometimes, especially over the last few years, and we complain about people. No one's prospecting, no one's sharing, no one's doing anything, and you start looking at it and say, well, who's the real problem here? If you're not setting the standard, then how do you expect things to change? Who's the problem? It all comes back to you. So you have to look at yourself. Don't complain about your sponsor, your team, the company, the Texas AG. Who is it all about? It's about, we play these blame games. We like to point fingers, but the reality is it all comes back to haunt us because it's all about us. If I'm not setting the example of going out and communicating and talking to people and building a phone team and doing it myself and sponsoring people and prospecting, how can I have an expectation of others doing that? And you see why people at the top sometimes get their organizations shrivel up underneath them because they get so high and mighty that they think they don't have to prospect anymore. Well, it's not quote-unquote prospecting. What I do every day is I share, I love on people. It's part of who I am. It's part of my walk with as Christ walked on earth is loving on people. And part of my love of people isn't just sharing the gospel. For me, it's also sharing, you know, honoring the temple. What are we doing to our physical bodies? What are we doing to help support us being as healthy as possible? What are we doing to help overcome financial insecurity in our lives so that we can truly have financial freedom? All of these things are critically important to me, and that's why I share them with other people. So it's about loving on other people. And as long as you set the standard, it's not about how big I get. It's about how many more people are out there for me to touch. Because I think when we stop prospecting, we stop sharing, we stop loving. It's a sense of discontinuing our love and outpouring for other people. And then we got to really do some self-examination at that point. So we really don't want to point fingers at other people. We have to look at our own actions. What are we doing? So we want to operate in accord with what's the law. He calls it the law of the first circle. I'm not sure that's the law of the universe, but the idea is that what we create, we duplicate. So whoever we are, that's what we're duplicating. So we must learn how to inspire, lead, and partner with other people for a common goal. We can only control the first circle. We can't control other things. So a lot of people say, well, Mary Jo, I'm committing to sign up 10 people this month. And I go, great, that's a great commitment. But what's always problematic with that underlying commitment? That you don't always have a lot of control over it. Right? I mean, how many times have you committed to sign up so many people in a given business period and it didn't happen for you? And you can say to me, because I've had people that really, they've worked really hard. I mean, they might have gone out there, they said, Mary Jo, I'm going to sign up 10 people this business period. Great, that's 2.5 people a week. So let's get to work. How many people do you need to talk to? Probably 20 a week to get to, if you're at a 10% sign-up ratio, they get two of them. So let's start making sure we're talking to 20 people. Well, sometimes that doesn't work for you. Sometimes, number one, you may not be very effective in sharing with people. Number two, you might be your selection of who you're sharing with are, you know, you're getting on a list of people that you've known for 40 years and you've had totally different relationships with, and you carry so much baggage that list isn't effective for you. You need to go out and find new people, new blood. You know, there could be a lot of reasons why you didn't get your 10, but one of the things for sure is you don't have control over other people's decisions and whether they join your organization or not. So it's not something that you can control. So what I want to talk about and what Randy talks about in his book is what is it then that you can control? work on what you can control, not on what you can't control, if that makes some sense to you. Because maybe it'll give you a new perspective. For me, it gave me a new perspective about people always committing to goals. Let's commit to goals of what we can control. Like one of the things, that's why I like commitments, how many new people are you going to talk to this week and share? You can control that. You can't control whether they sign up, but I'll guarantee you one thing, that the more people you talk to, the more people you're going to enroll. So let's start guaranteeing how many people we're going to share with. Because I know every one of you can say, Mary Jo, I'm going to share with 20 new people this week, or maybe you start at 5. For some of you, starting just at 1 would be rebuilding that, you know, that commitment to the Manatech business. But you know, that's slow. But if that's where you need to start, then start there. Start with just 1. Make 1 new contact this week and share Manatech with them in a meaningful way. Okay. So anyway, but those are the things you can control, and that's where duplication starts. You grow your people, they grow the network. That's another important concept. You grow your people, they grow the network. But that all starts with you again. If you're not going through transformation and growth yourself, if you're not reading good books and you're not getting people to get buy into, you know, educating themselves and going through their own self-transformation, then they're not going to grow. So for them to grow the network, they need to grow as well. But it all starts with you and the principles, behavior, and culture that you lead with. And that's what you have to keep in mind. Number 2, the power of the mind. What is your mindset? Now, this is Romans 8:28 comes out screaming in this book. You know, good things come from bad. In other words, in all bad things that happened, good things will arise. And it's either you believe that or you don't believe it. I tend to believe it because of a number of things. Number 1, it's always played out to be true in my life. But number 2, it's also scriptural, and I believe the Bible is accurate and correct and true. So if I believe in God's word, then I'm going to believe that good things come from bad things. So, you know, a lot of times people have bad things happen in their life. We all do. And some people get so focused and caught up in the bad that they get stuck. Oh, my car got broken into and they stole my DVD player. Da, 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 da. You know, so you have a story, don't you? You have a story you can tell people. And how many times do you repeat the story? Well, Randy has a funny thing. He was talking about that. And when some guy said, he said, well, what happened to you? Oh, I'm okay. Oh, you're okay. Why aren't you celebrating that you weren't in the car when somebody broke in, that they didn't take your life, that they didn't maim you, that you didn't get in trouble? You know, I said, how about the car? Oh, well, the car has just got a broken, it's got a broken window. Oh, really? So they didn't steal your tires or your engine or, you know, there's always something greater, worse that could have been done. Why can't we be thankful for the greatness that those terrible things didn't happen and great, and we were so fortunate to get out of it unscathed in so many cases. So notice how there's always some goodness that can come out of some bad. There's always another way of looking at it. And he says, you control your own mind. You control your own attitude. So that's something that you have to look at. What is your attitude towards all these things? Like the Texas AG case. I put that in the outline because I think some of you lost it over the Texas AG case. I still look back at the Texas AG case and think it's one of the greatest things that ever happened to Manatech. Why? Because number 1, it made us not have to be doctors out there. You know, one of the greatest things that robbed a lot of people from ever doing Manatech was the fact that they felt, oh my gosh, I feel like I have to be a doctor in order to do this business. Well, how silly is that? We had to make recipe boxes for people so they know how to prescribe the products to people. I mean, we created an incredible burden in how to do this business because we became doctors across the board. And the other idea is that when people would say, well, I have fibromyalgia, they lead, and you go, oh my gosh, you can't believe how many people, and we get off on the tangent about how this heal, cures, and mitigates, right? Well, what's the problem with that? The problem is, here's another one. The person gets on the product, starts feeling better, but they don't get cured, healed, or healed, so they tell you your products don't work. Well, I don't ever have to worry about my products not working. Because I'm not representing that they're going to heal, cure, mitigate anymore. What a blessing is that? So, you know, you can look at all the blessings that come out of it, and you've got to start looking at the ease with which it's given us an opportunity to do this business today, greater than ever before, that we have this huge opportunity to really help people in a way that they don't have to have unrealistic expectations about what's going to transpire. But just the fact that they're feeding their body the right foods to allow the body to function, to have normal functionality, and why it's so critical to feed the body what it needs. I mean, it just totally changed the way we share and how we do the business, and what a blessing. So you see, again, is the glass half empty or half full? Your mind is so important. And the same applies with when you approach people. If you treat people as if they're skeptical, you know what? You're going to approach them that exact same way. If you believe they're going to reject you, they're not going to let you down. In other words, you're going to get rejection. On the other hand, if you believe this is an awesome opportunity, just like as I'm expressing down in Mexico, I'm in Mexico, and I believe it's an awesome opportunity here as well. But in Mexico, I'm sitting there telling people for $10, just think, for $10 right now you can build an international global business for $10. I had to pay $1,000 for the same opportunity. All you have to do is pay $10 right now, and you have an opportunity to build an international global business. I mean, it's a no-brainer. This is the most awesome opportunity of your life. It could totally change your life. In the next 60 days, you could build financial security for the next 60 years. And here it is sitting, smiling at you. This is a no-brainer. And here, let me just share with you something that happened in Mexico. It was so cute. I'm giving this talk in Mexico, and this little girl in the front row, you know, I'm showing the slides, and I got to the business part with the income flow, and this gal, little girl in the front row goes, I want to be in Manatech. And I looked at her. There were like almost 100 people in the room. And I said, how old are you? And she said, 11 años. And I said, you're 11 years old, 11 años. And I said, what's wrong with the rest of you? I mean, it was classic. Everybody just cracked up. Because it was like, geez, if an 11-year-old girl can get this, what is wrong with the rest of us? But it's, again, you know, treat it like an awesome opportunity, and other people will, they'll understand it through you. Your enthusiasm and your attitude will help change their attitude or open their eyes to see something different. So, and when you talk to people, letting people know that you expect great things from them, that, you know, they have incredible capabilities, that's so crucial, because that's going to allow them to have the freedom to produce incredible results. If you have a negative mindset, every single minor challenge in your life becomes a distraction. And how many times do you talk to people or coach people or counsel people and all they want to do is deal with their distractions? You know, that's because you lack vision. You got to grab back onto vision. And I loved it. One of my people in my organization this morning said to me, Mary Jo, it goes like this. What did she say? 2011 will all be in heaven. I mean, it's, or will be, 2011 will be heaven. Not we'll all be in heaven. We're all not going to die in 2011. But 2011 will be like heaven or something like that. It's a cute little ring. You know, every year we come up with a little jingle or something. I thought that was a great jingle. So look at your 2011, and what are you going to create differently? You know, I'm so excited about 2011, not just because of Mexico, because of everything. I think Mexico is going to cause the United States to explode. So it's going to be, you're going to see this incredible effect that bringing on Mexico is going to have on all of us here in North America. So I'm excited about all of that as well. So again, stay positive. You want to stay positive. And some of you go, well, how do you do that, Mary Jo? There's so much negativity. Well, number one, you stay away from the news. I don't want to read the news every day. I mean, I love to read the news about new medical stuff, you know, and things that we need to be doing differently. But I don't like to read the news every day because there's so much trash in the news every day. And so if you read news, you're right away deciding you're going to feed yourself with garbage. So that's a choice you make, right? So what do you want to do? You want to listen to great videos and audios and books, and you want to make sure you attend great events that really motivate you, and you want to hang around positive people. You want to be on Mary Jo's Monday morning call. You know, I mean, it's about excitement. Have that positive drive. Really believe in the greatness of what this world has to offer, all of us. And that's what you want to focus on. So feed yourself. And some of you, if you know, you complain, but you don't want to feed yourself positive because you almost want to wallow in misery. Is it easy to wallow in misery? Yeah. Is it effective? No. Will it create results for you? No. The only results it'll create is that you'll continue wallowing in misery. But that's choice. Choice. Big word. Choice. We can choose different. So we need to dream and we need to invest in our dreams. We need to focus on a better self. And that's our number one focus. Because remember, we want to make that first circle work. That's the top circle. That's you. A better life. Make a greater difference in this world. So if you don't believe in yourself, how do you think anyone else is going to believe in you? So focus on your transformation and focus on your change. I had a little note here to read something out of the book. It says, oh, he said, yeah, his words in the book were, the opposite of success is not failure. It's mediocrity. And I think the word mediocrity is more disgusting than the word failure. Because failure to me is like a temporary event. We can fail at something on a temporary basis, but living a life of mediocrity is like a disease, a permanent disease condition that's incurable because of your choice. So mediocrity to me is just, you know, it's so unacceptable. Okay, so that's chapter two. It's a choice we make. Are we green and growing or are we ripe and rotting? And, you know, he also gave other things that you can do to help with this positive attitude is, of course, read great books. And he actually I have a book review list that I use, and all of you probably have it from a Pathway to Presidential class you may have taken from me. If you don't have it, we can post that. But, you know, it's about feeding our brains. And some of you have read a lot of these books. Let me read some of them that he put in his Making This First Circle Work, this book. He put, As a Man Thinketh, Think and Grow Rich, The Magic of Thinking Big, The Power of Positive Thinking, How to Win Friends and Influence People, The Science of Mind, The Richest Man in Babylon. All of these are books. Now, I read this list, and you know what? Mary Jo's read every one of those books. I've read every one of them probably multiple times, you know, or at least some of them I've read multiple times. I mean, As a Man Thinketh, Think and Grow Rich, The Richest Man in Babylon, those are some of the things I've read. But you know what's so intriguing about this book list is that even though we've read them and we might have read them before, again, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I suggest that there's more in each one of these books that you can learn from. I'll suggest that with any one of you, even me, if I go back and read Think and Grow Rich again, I bet I get something out of it. Because the book is going to touch you where you are today. And that's what's so incredible for us to understand, that we can only grow at a certain pace. And every day, every 6 months, every year, if we read the same book over, I guarantee you get something different out of the book because of the growth that you're going through. But the beauty of it is that you're going through growth. So the idea is to continue to feed yourself. Leadership is really big, and that's what he talks about mostly in this book. So leadership books, John Maxwell has a whole series of terrific leadership books that I recommend to all of you. So it's always about finding new books, new reading materials, new tapes, new audios, and even using old ones, but we're going to find new information from them that really help us grow. Doing the right thing. Number three, the third chapter was doing the right thing. And this is just really establishing a level of integrity in your organization. Because if you start compromising your integrity, you're going to create that culture throughout your whole organization. And I can honestly tell you, I've known Manatech people who would like take people from other people's downlines, or they do some things that, you know, they would misrepresent, or they try to cheat on different things, cheat here, cheat there, cheat on the comp plan, do things there. And, you know, I look back and today I can't find any of them in Manatech. Because I really believe that if you grow your business with seeds out of integrity, that you're going to create seeds of destruction from within. Because it's going to be duplicated throughout your whole organization. So you want to have the highest level of integrity. Set a standard that's just impeccable. And I know sometimes that's hard because we're human beings, but there's always the ways of apologizing. But, you know, be real careful. You're a leader. You know, leaders, we talk about, you know, NBA players and baseball players, how they live by a higher standard. And why? Because they're in public limelight all the time. People look up to them. Well, the same is true about you in Manatech as a leader of your organization. You live by a different set of standards. What other people might get away with, you can't get away with because you have too many people watching you. You have too many people looking at you as a leader. So there's certain things that you've got to do things right. You have to live that highest level of integrity at all moments. And so it's important for us to understand that. So do the right thing and you build the culture of your organization. I loved when he talked about MLM. He says, you know, like, we don't have that dog-eat-dog competition among each other that you find in corporate America, because in MLM, it's always about building other people underneath you to be as successful as possible. So it's the ultimate in teamwork. It's the ultimate in support system. So there's a beautiful thing about our culture in MLMs that's so different than other types of organizations, and we must keep that in mind. Number four, pump up the volume. This is a good chapter because it talks about what can we control. Again, if you look at the things you can control, number one, you can control the products your family can. And why are we talking about pumping up the volume? Because volume is what you get paid on. So you must look at what can you do to create greater volume. The products your family consumes, and he made a comment that never buy a product that your company makes from somebody else. So today we're talking about skincare. How many skincare products are we buying from some other sources? Well, Mary Jo, but I like this other skincare better. Well, I don't know. That might be true, but maybe you take on Manatech skincare because it's the right thing to do. If you're a leader, if you're growing your business, if you want other people to use the Manatech skincare. I use exclusively Manatech skincare today, so it's something that you want to look at and say, what am I doing or not doing that would be undermining my own organization? A second big mistake he talks about is people crying poor and saying, I have to cut back on my consumption of products. Well, you're just undermining your own business that way as well. Find a way to make it work. Find other corners you can cut in your life that aren't about challenging your health. Because these products aren't just about buying trinkets. These products are buying things that change the quality of your life and your existence. So the commitment is huge for you as a leader that you're not cutting back on your consumption, even if you go through some hard economic times. And you also make income off of your own product purchases, so it's crazy not to have them in place to help your make income yourself. Number two, another way you pump up volume is the products you give away. And, of course, we just saw Sam with Giving Changes Everything. Your product is your best advertisement. I give away more Phytoburst today than you can shake a stick at. I love that product. It's dynamite. You know, it was funny the other day. Let me tell you the story. I know I don't have much time left, but it was so cute. I gave some away in Mexico, and this one woman in the meeting, she goes, well, I don't know. The taste was okay, but then it had this little aftertaste, so I'm not sure the taste is that great. And I looked at her and I said, remember what I told you earlier? And she said, what was that? I said, the problem, we make bad choices. We always want to eat things that taste terrific instead of eating things that are nutritious. So I even took somebody who didn't like the flavor to teach her that why she needed to eat Phytoburst. You know, so you can take it and turn that story any way you want. I still think they taste dynamite. I love them, and I eat them every day. I don't know about you guys, but I can't open a bag of those without going through a lot of them. But they're terrific. Yeah, so anyway, so if I use your products as a great advertisement. And third, the customer base you establish is so critical. This will influence your volume the most. Isn't that intriguing? He didn't say getting business builders, he's saying building a good customer base. And that's really what a lot of us have left after all our years in network marketing. And I, you know, at that one stage I had 3 presidentials and 18 executive directors and all this underneath me. And today I have a lot of consumers in my organization. But, you know, my consumers are what's sustaining my business. It's awesome to have people who love the products, and that's easy to have because the results are so fantastic that you get from taking these products. So the idea is build a great consumer business as well. We want business builders, but always be looking and valuing the diamonds, those people in your organization. Randy Gage even said that was one of the biggest mistakes he made in all the times that he grew his business. He never paid enough attention to consumers or customers. He just went after business builders. Well, he still became a multimillionaire in network marketing, but he said what he could have had compared to what he had was, like, incredible, the difference. And he really emphasizes building a consumer base. 5 was making it rain. And making it rain is all about what? Making it rain is about staying away from busy work and doing things that make a difference. And he said, busy work is like 5 hours chatting on Facebook or sending out tweets, checking your back office every 5 minutes to see what your volume is, calling all your frontline people and affirming how fired up you are, organizing your stock of vitamin tablets in alphabetical order, cleaning off your desk, catching up on your filing, putting everything in your briefcase in its proper place. All of these might be noble activities, but they're not what you get paid on. So we get stuck in busy work, and we got to avoid busy work and do income-producing activities. And what are the 2 ways you get volume? You get people signed up as consumers. You get people signed up as business builders. That's it, kids. That's what we're out to do. So what does it put at the top of your list is going out and sharing, talking to new people, because you need new business builders. You need new consumers. So go out and do the rainmaker actions. He talks about, you know, these people go out and try to sell this program to people saying, oh, you only have to work a couple hours a week and you can make network marketing work. And he said that's a big lie. He said network marketing doesn't work at less than 10 to 15 hours a week. Why? Because it takes duplication. It's not you going out and sharing with a few people a week. It's about duplicating yourself. And duplication is what's so crucial. So you have to spend a lot of time where you're going to be serving other people. You're going to be helping them grow, helping yourself grow and transform and becoming the leader you need to be to help lead others be the leaders they need to be. So this action, making sure that you're planning on Sunday night, what is your week going to look like in terms of prospecting, and then you go out and you make it happen. That will do more to grow your business than any other activity you can participate in. So I just look back at all of you today on Monday morning call. What did you do on Sunday night? Where's your plan of attack for this week in building your business? It will do more to grow your business than any other activity you can participate in. So start locking in that Sunday night to build a plan on how you're going to prospect. How are you going to get people in your business? How are you going to get people taking the products? That's your two things you focus on for your activities for the next week. Number six, watering the taproot. This is crucial. Once you make it rain by building business builders and finding consumers, now you're not, how do I make the rain create phenomenal gardens or phenomenal trees? Something like redwoods. You want a redwood in each of four legs, then you'll be a platinum for life. So how do I get a redwood in each of my legs? Well, he says you got to start with the taproot. You want to use the rain to produce the most fruit. So you want to go deep in your organization. So many of us want to stay at the top level. We want to work with the first four people we brought in, and that's all we want to work with. That's not going to work. You got to go down deep in your organization. Find the people, you know, focus. Don't focus on your enrollees. Focus on the people down below who are got a spark of energy, that have life. Too many of us sit back and say, oh, my gosh, well, they're 25 levels deep. I mean, it's crazy. I love it. I was in Mexico when I was in Monterrey. Somebody in Monterrey was talking to one of their brand-new people that just signed up and that's so excited about doing the business. And they introduced him to Mary Jo. And they looked at me and they said, do you know, here's Abner. And they introduced him to Abner, who's my main leader in Monterrey. And they said, do you know how, he says, Mary Jo, how many levels below you is Abner? And I thought to myself and I said, I think he's probably about 60 levels underneath me in my downline. 60 positions. 60 positions beneath me in my downline. And this guy went on and on with this new person saying, see, that's what it's about. It's about going after any person in the organization. None of this stuff that we... So obviously he was talking about what he had learned in the past in network marketing. See, it's about us focusing on the sparks, finding the sparks in our downline, and then pouring gasoline on the sparks. Because what happens when you start the deepest level, if I can get, and this I've done before in winning incentives, in going to manifest, I start with the lowest levels. I start with the people that signed up in the last 3 months, 6 months. When I get them to commit to going to manifest, guess what happens? Their leaders commit to going to manifest, and then their leaders commit to going to manifest, and all of a sudden I have 150 people at manifest instead of five. So how do you create excitement in your downline? You don't create it from top down. You create it from bottom up. So go after that taproot. Okay, everybody get that? That's a crucial, crucial criteria. In fact, after you get off this call today, I suggest you go into your taproot and you go to that base level and you start working with all those people and get them excited and watch what happens upline. Number seven was taking on Ticketmaster. Randy Gage is a guy that doesn't believe in what's happening around the world today in network marketing. In other words, he doesn't believe in all the stuff being sold out there from A to Z, whether it's Facebook, whether it's social networking, whether it's all that stuff. He says, you know what? People are getting so tied up in all of these gimmicks. They want you to do Facebook. They want you to do this. They want you to do this. They want you to do that. They want you to do all this kind of stuff because they're all looking at what? One thing. They're looking at the quick fix. How do I do this 10 times faster than ever done before? And he says, you know, every once in a while, a program like that works for one person. But the problem is it's not duplicatable. Because out of hundreds of thousands of people who've tried it, it's only worked for a handful. So what's important, it's not whether something works, it's whether it's duplicatable. And that's what's so important for us. So we got to do something that's duplicatable, something that's going to work for everybody, not something that's just, and we don't want to keep paying money to these gurus who actually just make money mining the miners by selling them systems, tools, leads, all that garbage. That's not what it's about. The pay per click advertising, all this stuff, we can go on and on and on and on. What's the reality? The reality is that you do network marketing the old-fashioned way. And that means you build people by belly-to-belly discussing, meeting, having local events, building home meetings, and making it happen. He said, today there's a big disparity between the haves and have-nots in network marketing, and I believe how people approach events is the biggest difference between the two groups. The people with duplication understand the importance of events, and everybody else is trying to look for shortcuts, trying to do business without them. So let's go back to events and business and having meetings and getting people out to enjoy each other and socialize and build community. That's where it's going to be. So we want to make sure that we're a part of building events. We build events. It's what works. It's what's duplicate. And you have weekly or every other week or monthly meetings. Start doing it in your local environment. He says you got the most fast and most powerful way to grow your business is to build it in your own backyard. That's where you start. That's where you build your base. That's where you get your foundation, in your own backyard. So you need to have events. You need to duplicate those events. You need to have events all the time, every week, every month, every 2 weeks, whatever you choose, but keep having these events. You might even sell tickets to the events, $5 a piece to all the tickets. So buy 10 tickets. Make sure that you then it gets a person committed to bring 10 people if they buy 10 tickets. You build momentum. You need to build momentum through local events. And then what happens from your local events is what? You go into number 8, which is your major events. So you build local events into major events. The major events will help your business builders in a lot of ways. He says there are 3 major ways, like your ManaQuest, Manifest, your regional meetings, is you build people because they help learn new skills, they build their belief system, and they develop greater and greater confidence. And it's crucial that you get people to major events like Manifest because that's where life-changing decisions are made. If I had all of you on the call today, I said, how many of you changed your mind at a Manifest event? How many of you went to a Manifest and that totally changed your mind? That totally caused you to commit. You talk to people like Jeff Allen. That Manifest made all the difference in the world for him. He became a platinum presidential. So we build intense passion. We get this passion from going to events. Huge growth occurs. In a 3-day national event, more can occur than I can change and help change or transform a person's life in 12 months. So that's the critical nature of these 3-day events. 5 reasons why major events: gain knowledge, improve attitude, change behavior, develop skills, build beliefs. Those are 5. And he gave us the best event things to do at events. And, of course, Manatech has all these. When they have a major event, they make sure they touch all these bases. So our idea isn't just to promote it. Our idea isn't just to announce it. We don't announce Manifest. We promote it. We talk about why. Every single time something new comes out of what's going to happen at Manifest, we promote it in our downline. We make sure that we build caravans to go. We make conference calls talking about Manifest. You guys should have a conference call today or tomorrow with your group about Manifest because the 99-day deal is going to disappear. It's the best deal out there. And they can use Bill Me Later concept, so they don't have to pay right now. So do whatever it takes to have a great group of people at that next event, which are, for us, the next event is Manifest. My goal is to have 100 people there. That is tough. I haven't had 100 people there in 4 years. I want 100 people there. It's been 3 years since I had 100 people at Manifest. But I want 100 people there this year. So I'm going after it. We want to make sure we sell Manifest. Crucial for your business. Number 9 is keeping out of the ditches. That means counseling and coaching your people. You want to make sure that you're coaching your people. You don't manage your downline. You lead them. You manage things and you lead people. So how do you lead people? By having calls with them, either weekly or monthly counseling or coaching calls is what you want to have with your people. You want to have monthly leadership trainings, mentoring with the people that are doing the business, because it's your way to discontinue their dysfunctional behavior that's holding them back. So that's the purpose for the coaching and the counseling. Find that, you know, watch what they're doing and not doing and help them. It's coaching that makes everything else work. It allows you to track the important business variables that take corrective action before mistakes get too far down in the group. Now, what are the criteria he says are the most important to follow? Let me give you that. Okay, he said there's 6 of them. He said 6 most essential criteria for business statistics that you want to trace. You're going to have to take this down because it's not in the outline. Number 1, the number of distributors in your group. In other words, how many business builders do you have? Number 2, what's your average volume? Number 3, the number you have attending major events. How many people in your organization are going to Manifest this year? Number 4, your rank advancements. Are you building leaders in your group? Are people getting from zero to regional? Are regionals getting from regional to nationals? Are nationals getting from national to executive? Number five, the lines with a leader. In other words, how many legs, he calls them lines, how many legs do you have in your business, and how many of them have a true leader? So how many leadership legs do you have? And then total number of leaders in your entire group. Those are six variables, business variables, that you want to trace with your people when you're doing coaching calls. All right, and then finally, the last chapter, chapter 10, quickly, is leading the tribe. And he talks about Seth Godin's book, The Tribe. I don't know how many of you have read it. I read it. I thought it was awesome. And it really talks about, you know, us modeling our behavior, because everybody follows somebody that has something to follow. We want to make sure we're leading a tribe. And that's what's happening on social marketing. And that's really what that book was about, was social marketing on that, you know, social websites, social marketing on the internet, and building a tribe, a following. But Randy Gage is so accurate when he said that if he offered Seth Godin $10 million to author a perfect book for network marketing, this would have been it. Because it's exactly what we do, too. The essence of making the law of the first circle work is about leading a tribe. The essence of making the law of the first circle work is about leading a tribe. Leading is about modeling behavior, being the example, and that's what we're about. So you want to make sure to be successful yourself. So a lot of people say, fake it till you make it. Wrong. Make it. Start being successful. I can't teach somebody how to be a regional director if I can't do it myself. But once I get the regional director, I can teach my people how to be regional directors. Then I get to national director, and I can teach them how to get to national director. Then I get to executive director, I can teach them how to be executive directors, right? You follow me? That's the process. Make sure that top circle is not dysfunctional. So make your circle work first, and your tribe will happily duplicate your example, creating two duplication down the group. So your number one goal is to what? Get your people on board, find four people, and get them to be making what? $500 to $600 a month as fast as possible. And Randy says this is a standard that you want to develop, because once they do that, they can pay for their products, they can pay for their self-development, and they can pay to attend events. Now you have a chance of keeping them for a long, long time. So your goal is to get them to national director, on their way to executive as fast as possible, and get their team bonus, power match, the fast start bonus, all these bonuses in, so that they're making enough money to sustain them until that residual stream income really takes off. And finally, he had four things he wants for each of us. In the book, he talks about them. Live a life of adventure. Number two, get your freedom. Be able to do what you want to do every day of your life when you want to do it. And I want to tell you, you know, I feel like that's me today, but I always feel up, but maybe it's not me, because sometimes I'm doing, but the reality is everything I do today is a choice. I'm at choice. I don't have to punch in at 8 o'clock. I don't leave a job at 6. And so it is really a freedom of doing whatever you want to do every day. Right injustice, that's 3. And for us, what's injustice for us? Injustice can be global malnutrition. Injustice can be the income disparity in our own country. How are we helping people right injustice? How am I helping people with lower income levels to have a better way of life, to right an injustice that I feel we've done to this country over the years, that we've left people behind? This is supposed to be a world with no one left behind, and we've left tons of people, millions of people behind in our own country. So it's time we right injustice. And number 4, move from success to significance. In other words, build your business, get to global success in your business, build an international business, and now start, how can I make a difference? And be able to write those checks and put them in the envelope on Sunday morning when you have a guest speaker from Latvia come and speak, and you can write a check. You can sign a check, and you can make it any amount you want, because you're able to make a life of significance today. Through the income and success you've had, you now can help change other people's lives. And you can do it in so many ways. It's not just through money, but it's through the success that you've had has allowed people now to admire you and respect you, and you've caused that first circle to work. So now people look up to you as a leader, and you can impact their lives just by the things you do. Okay? That's great, everybody. Good book. It's a good book. Did you feel like there are things in here that captured your interest again about how you can grow your business and be a better you? I sure did. I thought it was a good book. There's some, you know, some things I'm not head on with Randy Gage, but he has a lot of great principles, and he clearly knows this business inside and out better than I ever will know, because he's had three times as many years doing it. So I love to follow people like that and understand from them greater ways or better ways for me to look at what I'm doing and how I can do it differently, because I'm always looking for change. Okay, everyone, you guys have a great week. Let's not, you know, I know Christmas is coming. I know there are a lot of distractions in your life or choices you can make around distractions, but you really have an opportunity here to start giving like you've never done before, and that's sharing the blessings that we have through Manatech, both economically and with health, and let's make that happen. Okay, everyone. Oh, one last announcement. I forgot. For those of you in the Dallas area, there's a special meeting this Thursday night, December 2nd, at Manna Relief headquarters at 7:30 p.m., and Sam's going to review the giving plan and answer a bunch of questions, have everybody, and get feedback from you in terms of how this all works. So he wants as many people to show up as possibly can, so if you're in the area, even if you want to come from Oklahoma or Louisiana or Arkansas or wherever, come to Manna Relief offices on December 2nd, that's Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. We'd love to have you. I actually won't be there. Lydia will be there in my place because I will be obviously on the Mexico Roadshow. So, all right, everybody, love you all. And any last comments or questions before we go? Okay, have a great week.
Thank you, Mary Jo.